Thank you. Okay, let's go. Trustees, we're now in this closed strategy session. Probably the best thing is to discuss reasonable imminent litigation. Blake, go ahead.
So the main reason I wanted to have this discussion is that we are at a crossroads with Mr. Hurst and CRS engineers. I think everyone's aware of that. And there's really kind of two tracks that need to proceed here, or that I would recommend proceeding, both of which include litigation. The first is to send, I've already sent this letter to Mr. Hurst, letting him know that he needed to produce the documents, and that if he did not do so, that the documents were the client's file, and that we would report him to Doppel. I've been informed that there were some ethical conflicts and concerns about ethical conflicts when Mr. Hurst came in as the manager, and when he awarded some of these contracts. I think that when we take our shot with Doppel, we take a full and complete shot. So what I mean by that is, if there's concerns that you want me to address and bring to Doppel's attention about Mr. Hurst and his role as the engineer for the district, the manager of the district, and his role in securing contracts for his company where he was a principal, please let me know so that I can go ahead and draft the appropriate document to bring this to Doppel's attention.
So what you're saying, if we go after it, we're going to go full guns.
We might as well. I mean, there's no reason in piecemealing our complaint to Doppel. If we have a complaint to Doppel that he violated his ethical obligations as the engineer, I need to know why we believe that. If we believe that that has something to do with his role as a manager, I need to know that. If we believe that there is concerns that he violated his duties as an engineer and has put his license at jeopardy because of the way he awarded the CRS a contract, I need to know that.
Trustees, I'll just reiterate so everybody knows we're on the same page here. 3.5 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, we sent a letter of request. You all know that I've met with them. We've catch up to date. They promised us to send the information that we've already paid for. To me, this is very simple. They said, Paul looked right at me, sat in a chair and said, it doesn't matter what we put on the statements, we're going to provide you a house that's built. We're going to provide you a structure, a whole home that's move-in ready. And he's billed us for a lot of things, even carpet and tile, and I don't even see any wood sitting on top of a foundation. I don't even know if I can see the foundation or the footings. Yet he feels justified, I don't want to personalize it, but CRS feels justified that they've been very generous in the way they've treated us. We've done it in writing. Carrie's done it several times on the phone, as well as Roy. I've met with them personally. We still don't have what we were promised, and now we have a construction window that's about to open, and more importantly, will close here in a few more months. And we've got a life safety issue that needs to be taken care of. So this is a bunch of horse crap. I'm done. To me, and Paul states, I'm a good man. I believe he's a good man. But he's not a good business person, in my opinion, because this is silly that I hate that we've got to use more stuff from Blake, and this is just silly. So that's my position. But it's not us. They're the ones that have made this decision not to do what they said they were going to do, not to follow up with what they said. I'm trying to be so short, Mike, because I want you to make that plain. So,
it's all good.
Anyway, all right.
So that's the first track. The second track would be to send a demand letter to CRS requesting a reimbursement of some of the fees that we've already paid and inform them that we believe that they are in breach. And I drafted a simple letter to that effect. I need to get the number from Mark Miller, our new engineer, about what it's going to cost him to redo what we've already paid CRS to do for us. But I think it's time to send a letter informing them that we believe that CRS has breached the agreement and owes us damages.
Comments, trustees?
I agree. I think
we should ask a couple questions, if I could.
Please.
And then they were supposed to provide documents to us today, I think before this meeting, and I haven't heard one way or the other whether those documents were provided.
No, they were not.
Okay, and the other two questions, Mark Chertel at the last meeting recommended a forensic audit. Is that something that we've considered, or is it going to be necessary to proceed with the proposed litigation? Or the proposed letters, at least.
No, that's a good point.
I'd recommend that we do some type of an audit, because, again, these were public funds. Whether they are loan funds or they are funds that were held by the entity from people, citizens. And the concern is that if you don't deal with this in a, a very forthright way, it appears that it makes you look like you just look the other direction with people's money. I think you need to do the audit. And I mentioned this to Paul, the very first onset of all this, and he was complaining about why the district was kind of taking this attitude, and I told him, I said, you created the problem when you submitted those documents that brought all kinds of question about your billing and your processes and everything and conflicting invoices. That shows that's a big red flag. And so based on what you're saying, Ron, do we look at this? Do we go any further? Do we audit it? I don't think you have any choice but to do the right thing, and that is say, yeah, we see some improprieties. We see some bad accounting or something, and that means possibly the people are being cheated. You have to look to protect the people. You have to go through some type of review, whether it's forensic or it's just a good audit. Now, just my mention to you, and talking with the auditors, a couple things they suggest is that you have to be pretty careful in how you ask for your audit, what you're going to be looking for, and because otherwise you could have somebody just review the books and say, yeah, it looks like the numbers are close, and then you'll be frustrated with your review or your audit. You have to have somebody, and you have to have a scope of work done such a way that you say, I want this and this and this detail from this audit, and then you'll end up with a product that you want. But I still suggest you do some type of an audit.
Is that a board action, or is that something that you can initiate on your own, Roy?
It should be a board action, because it's going to cost money and sends us a direction that's potentially more litigation or legal. It's something I shouldn't be doing.
I guess in my last question would be, is there any potential blowback on the board from any of these from going forward with any of the things that you've talked about, Blake?
So the blowback is going to be this. They're going to obviously take the position that they're not in violation and that you owe this money. But they're going to take that position regardless of what you do. So I don't see that as blowback.
Okay.
This is coming to a head one way or the other. I mean, they're going to either sue you to try to collect on the money they believe that they're owed. This just gives us the opportunity to be the preemptive party to say that we believe they're in breach, and not only do we not are not going to pay them another dime, but we believe that they actually owe us money back because we're having to redo work they were supposed to do for us.
And we can recover damages like for doing the audit and things of that nature?
Yeah, the audit would help with respect to establishing that they actually didn't follow proper accounting principles, but the thing that's going to be the most helpful to me is our current engineer, Mark, telling me what he has to redo because of because of their breach.
So he's already started compiling that and looking at that. He has indicated already that the pump house or the well house, that he'll have to redo that. And I think the bid was about $40,000. He said it won't be that much, but he said it's going to be close. It's $30,000-something. So he's already putting those numbers together for you. But
okay.
Definitely. And he has to start right away.
Yeah. In fact, he has to put other jobs on hold to do our deal.
Well, so this whole meeting is critical, and also the board deciding what to do, because he's, again, going to shut down everything he's doing because of the timeline crunch are in now. He's going to dump all these people on getting these pump house drawings, water line drawings, and engineering done on for us so we meet the construction window. So we'll have to give him some direction because we're running out of time, too.
So here's the deal. If all of a sudden CRS tomorrow turns over everything, well, then we'll just have to, you know, then he'll have to review what we have. Board, I'm looking for more comments here.
So,
wait, just a second. Blake, you have something else?
Yeah, I just was going to say.
I'm going to go to Mike Moyal after Blake.
So really quickly, sitting here and being part of the meeting today, the issue with Zim creates more concern in me that CRS really hasn't done anything. Because if Zim had an extension from CRS, i.e. Paul Hurst, he would have said that immediately on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does. I asked that question, Claire, last year when I thought he was out of compliance, and I do remember them saying something about it. I think Zim was trying to figure it out at the time, but CRS may have the document, but I really think it's out there.
Well,
I think they'll come up with it.
But bottom line is this, everything here just seems to have been done in a way, this laissez-faire way, where I don't think you really I don't think CRS has deliverables. I don't think they have work product. I don't think they have it. I think that what they've done is they've billed and collected money for work that they haven't done.
Trustees, I want you to know that in that meeting, when I said, you know, we need the documents that we've paid for, Paul did pick up a huge stack of papers, and probably two reams worth of papers. They were colored. They had all kinds of print on them. But they weren't any closer than 5-6 feet from me, and I couldn't read what was on them. And he didn't leave them. I asked for them hard copied and electronically, and we don't have either yet. So he could have brought me a coloring book for all I know. I don't know what's on those papers. Mike Moyal.
So I think I'm in line with what Blake was saying, that we need to go after him with everything we have and be first to attack him, because I've been on the attacked end of Paul Hurst. He knows what he did was wrong. He knows everything he's done. If it was wrong, he already knows about it. He works very closely. He's got Doppel on speed dial himself. And I had to defend my surveyor for something that was completely, it was nothing. And Paul took it much further than he ever should have. And at the time, Paul was sitting on a board that he has since been removed of because of that action. So I don't trust Paul. I don't like Paul. And now that I've received one of his bills, not to mention reviewed some of the bills that the district's received, I think you should go after him fast. As far as a forensic audit, I heard this gentleman over here saying it's $6,000-$7,000 for a standard audit. I can't imagine how much a forensic audit's going to cost. But I don't know if it would require that much. I think if you went after him, and if you had enough agencies going after him, I think he would roll with it. That's just my opinion.
Any of the other trustees on the phone, comments?
Yeah, I believe that we should pursue the forensic audit. I think it adds credibility to our claim. I think it is in the interest of the constituents in the district. So I think, you know, that is, in my mind, is a given. And I think we do go after him hard. I think we need to do it quickly. I think Paul is smart enough that if he hasn't completed the work, he's probably frantically trying to work product on paper that he could deliver to us and say, no, look, I've had it. I was just waiting for the bill to be paid.
Trustee, thank you, Mark. Trustee Wilson, Trustee Barrett.
I mean, I agree that a forensic audit is mandatory, and I think that in conjunction with Kerry Zenger being able to put together and highlight areas of concern, I think we can minimize the financial impact to the district of such a audit. Paul has not only failed to deliver work product in a timely fashion, which has held us up and highlighted his avaricious business practices, but he's engaged in business irregularities, which for me, in terms of billing, should represent a first pass sort of lightning rod to a Doppel investigation. I believe we do have an ethical and fiduciary responsibility to get Doppel involved to look specifically at the most recent failures to perform, most recent unethical billing practices that we've been able to demonstrate, and coupled with any results from a forensic audit, that's clearly potent ammunition, I would argue, to deal with Paul. The issue that's been rattling around in my mind is how far do we initiate an investigation as it relates to other practices that are even more troubling in my mind, namely obvious conflicts of interest that existed essentially from the day that Paul was hired. And I'm the first to admit that these were probably known to the board. And honestly, I do feel that I tried to highlight these to board members, but there was hardcore pushback from virtually every other board member in terms of addressing these issues. And Paul, honestly, has been so highly manipulative that he's been able to obfuscate and kind of cover his tracks over time. But now the gig is up. So the issues that Blake is pointing to, namely him being both the district manager and the district engineer while preferentially giving business to CRS, his company, I think are pretty high-level conflicts of interest right off the bat. And I think that we probably do need to include this in our sort of concerns that we raise with Doppel. My only question is in this area, and I would defer to Blake and Roy and everybody else, is do we need to do this right now? Should we have a sort of first-pass Doppel attack and then see what happens and then do these things, or are we obligated to highlight these other issues right off the bat? My feeling is we probably should highlight them right off the bat. I don't know, Roy, what do you think?
I would say if we're going to deal with it, I'll just get it out there right now, take care of everything. I'm not sure where this is going to go, if back with the county and appointing Paul and the conflicts that existed there. Is that going to create some pushback, or is that going to create a lead from what we're doing into their life and public and everything?
It needs to, you know what? We have the ultimate responsibility to the customers of Weber County. So let that go to where that goes. It may, you know, I can't, and Blake, you're not the attorney for the county, but I would like you to call and talk to Chris Crockett just before I want you to have the sights on the target. I want your finger on the trigger just before you take your breath to steady it all and squeeze the trigger. Call Chris Crockett and just make sure. But it's got to be what it is, and the truth has got to be the truth. And we need to protect life safety on top of that mountain. That's paramount.
Yeah, that was well stated, Jim. And incidentally, Blake, Chris Crockett is very well schooled and was involved as the district's sort of attorney for a number of months. Excellent. Basically, he was on a kind of a loan program, if you will.
And Bob, now too, he's with the retirement of our Dave Wilson, the lead. Now Chris Crockett is the lead civil attorney for Weber County.
Yeah, sweet.
He's awesome. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I have a good relationship with Chris Crockett, so that shouldn't be a problem. But that also brings me to the next issue that we need to discuss about litigation. And Jim, I don't know where you sit on this.
Do I need to be excused?
No, but we had a meeting with the county.
Oh.
And I came away from that meeting thinking that we're, at least with the county chair, intimated in that meeting, and he didn't pull any punches, is that they'll be sending a letter to us telling us that all the water lines and everything are our problem up on the mountain, and even there was nothing that needed to be done to convey them. They've already been conveyed. And so I've asked Carrie and Roy whether they would like me to dig in, and I've done some research, and obviously our policies came along a little later, but we have had standards and specs the entire time, and the standards and specs have to be complied with. And not only that, but Weber County has its own punch list and has its own procedure that before they receive anything conveyed to them, they have to sign off on certain things. And so I think we're well within our right to say, no, county, you've got to be at the table here with us to help fix this problem instead of...
Well, now, I got to speak on... Hold on. I'm going to speak on the district's side and not put the county hat on.
Okay.
The punch list, though, is supposed to be delivered by the manager of the district. Now, this was issued before Roy came on, but it's been a recurring thing since you're here, Roy.
And it came up in December, I remember.
Yeah, so this punch list has to be generated by this district.
Correct.
And so... just so that all the trustees know, right now, I said, and Mark, I'm glad you're on the phone because you're my trusted friend up there, but I've said, hey, listen, we've got to make sure that we work all together on this for the betterment of the whole district. Now, with all due respect, Blake, I hate having lawyers involved. You, our lawyers at the county, all of them, the Summit lawyer, this is a waste. Let's just all work together to figure out the problem without all the lawyers and get the problem solved, and then we'll figure out where the billing is. And then if we need to get the lawyers involved, then we do. But that's just, we can spend a whole lot more money on lawyers and then lawyers again, or we can just get the stupid problem solved and get it going. Now, that's the conversations I've had representing the district. So that's where I'm at. And I hope, trustees, you can support me on that. And if I'm out of line, then I hope you'll correct me right now on that.
So would you agree with me, though, Jim, that in essence, the end of that meeting, it was specifically stated that the district would be receiving a letter from the county saying, it's your problem.
It was my impression as the chair of this district that we would be receiving a letter. But this district has not received the letter yet.
True.
And it was also represented in that meeting that we were going to get sued.
True.
And we haven't been sued, nor am I aware that we're going to be sued.
That's a good thing.
So let me just tell you, the horses were real jittery, but they're still in the corral, is what I'm going to tell you. So let's just get going and working together. And that's so all of you know, this compounds this stupid problem with CRS for me. Because if they were compliant, then it'd sure be a lot easier instead of having to recreate all the whole crock and wheel now. This is so frustrating for me, but it is what it is. They've made their decisions. We got to move on. We got to move on. So the faster we can get that punch list together, you Blake and Roy, you guys walked out of that meeting, and I said, let's get that as the district chair. That's what I said. We need to get that punch list. Is the punch list done? I mean, I don't know that you can do it in the middle of 7 to 10 feet of snow, but we can
do a lot of it. I've already talked to Mark about it, and I've got a lot of the punch list done. I actually started that back in December when I first started talking with them. When I started seeing going really south fast, that's when I thought, I am not going to do this and turn it over to them and let them try and submit some document. The things were, I could see those lines were freezing. I could see that they were having trouble with the mains. I was like, this is going to turn ugly really quick. So I'm glad I've waited, but it's not that hard to do. It really is. Most of it's in place. So I just meet with Mark. I already talked to him about it, and we will complete the punch list and let the engineers figure out what we need to do.
Yeah, if I'm off base here, please, trustees, tell me.
I was under the impression that Geneva Rock accepted responsibility and they were going to go with their insurance. And
they somewhat did. It was in passing, their CEO said that, but they'd probably have to assume responsibility and they'd contact their insurance company, but nothing was firm. There was no decisions.
Okay, and then if you guys
Hey, Roy.
Yeah.
Hold on just a second, Bob. Mike Moyow, just let me finish. Talk a little louder so I can hear you.
Yeah, sorry. If the county says that the lines are the districts, that means you have a water source, doesn't it?
If the county says the lines are the district, no.
So the lines are yours, but the wells
I don't know.
Yeah, well, all of that infrastructure.
I don't know.
The tanks, I mean, it goes back to all of that, is that they should have all of their mitigation and exchange applications completed and all that stuff. And they should have a second source in place. These are all punch lists.
This is beyond me. I'm sorry, I don't know more about
that. So when you start looking at that, then they should have conveyed the water rights. They should have had all that stuff done. We should have had the wells, the tanks, the water lines, the services and easements and everything.
Yep.
Okay.
But they're waiting on a punch list.
Okay.
Go ahead. Bob, go ahead.
So there's a punch list that we do need to put together, the district, that we give to Summit before we actually accept any infrastructure that isn't up to our specs. At that point, then we're going to be negotiating water rights and all that sort of stuff being transferred as a sequel in a condition of the development and annexation agreement. But more directly towards Jim's point, I see no reason at this point to poke the county bear by us initiating any legal conversations based on sort of a stated threat about the county's going to send us a letter. It may or may not materialize. If it does materialize, we can react then. But I don't want to launch a preemptive legal missile, if you will, at the county, because that's going to provoke a response no matter how you look at it. Let's work with the involved parties, Geneva, the county, us, the developer, and try and do an assessment on what's broken up there, what's causing these freezing pipes, do a stem to stern analysis, and put in whatever effort we need to get a fuller understanding of this before we threaten any legal action or get any lawyers involved.
So
that's my feeling.
So, Bob, I need to make sure my statement was clear. I wasn't making that statement saying that I was recommending or suggesting a preemptive strike in this case. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I just left that meeting with some serious concerns that the county was going to sue us or the county was going to send a demand to us. And so I have done the research. I want to give you some comfort that if they do, I think we can put together a nice response. But I believe lawyers should be problem solvers.
I'm glad you clarified that. And take no offense, Jim, but sometimes politicians bluster. And I think that's what may have happened with your commissioner mate at that meeting, as I understand it, secondhandedly.
Well, let your opinion be what it is, and there are some of us who try to be skilled at wind blocks.
Roy, here's my concern. I think we ought to work with the county, indeed, as opposed to do anything that is too aggressive here, because I don't know what Evan has done and what he said and what he signed, and I'm not sure anyone does. So I think we ought to work very closely with the county to try to get this resolved on an amicable basis.
Roy, that is a brilliant comment, because I've had that same feeling or impression a long time. What has he signed or committed to or promised on behalf of, I'll take care of it with the district? You're spot on. That's exactly what I've been thinking. And so you don't know. You don't know. And I'll just say one more thing, too. I need to bring it up. But a reminder, and I could be off here, but the reminder, this district still has a financial responsibility to the treasurer's office or the county with regards to a loan or some money that are still outstanding. And that wasn't entered into the conversation. That wasn't entered into the conversation we had sitting around that table. But if
That
didn't we
up.
Pay that Sundown loan back? I thought we paid that back in full.
No, we're still
Carrie,
paying
help me
it.
Out.
We're still... Go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, on Sundown?
Yeah, that new water line.
Oh no, the agreement was we put $33,000, we paid them $33,000 in 2018. I made an agreement with them in December to pay $40,000 this year, $10,000 per quarter. We've already paid our first payment, and then that would leave us a balance of about $15,000, and if we had it, we'd pay it. If we didn't, it would go into 2020.
So it's just, you know, that...
Let's satisfy that obligation. They saved our butt with that loan.
Well, right. That nice thing is that I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with both hats on, is that the county's working with the district and the district's got a plan to take care of it. And that moves, that goes a long ways. And so I don't want to bring that up and I don't want to stir up that crock of crap. So let's just all work together here and... And
so I think, Mr. Chairman, coming from that meeting, it my feeling was that the engineers were going to get together soon, and I guess, and again, Mark's had his hands full trying to get everything else caught up to date, but just in this next month, we'll meet with them, we will look at the engineering and come up with a fix for everything. We will need the attorneys to help us with the documents for... taking over whatever infrastructure we can and making sure also we have a process.
Let's be problem solvers, not problem creators.
Yeah. And have a process right. Going forward and documents that, like, we need to sign the plats and we need to have sign the occupancy forms, and we need to also have some conveyance document whenever phases are finished. That stuff's coming to the district in the proper way, but there are outstanding issues all over the place. But I'm fine. I think in the next few months we should be okay. We'll figure out where we're headed.
Okay. So there's a couple things on the table right now. Is there any more discussion on that before I... Because I think we're going to need to ask for some action, then convey that after we close and open all these meetings. So, is there any other comment by any trustees with regards to any of the items we've discussed? None being heard, then the chair is looking for a motion with regards to how we approach imminent litigation with regards to CRS. Is there a motion?
I move that we go after CRS with everything Blake can throw at us.
Including Doppel?
Including Doppel.
There's a motion to go, there's a motion to send us everything we got on CRS, including Doppel. Is there a second?
Maybe I don't understand closed session completely.
I was going to say,
are we able to entertain motion?
Closed session?
Yeah, we.
No. Well, hold on, Blake. You're here to advise. I've got my own. I thought we could make a motion here, then we just advise after the meeting what we've done in closed session.
All motions should be really done in
open session.
But we're talking about taking legal action, and I don't. I mean, all we're talking about right now is. We're not talking about filing a lawsuit. If you're talking about filing a lawsuit, I think you would need a motion. But you need it. But where you're talking about sending letters, if you want me to send letters, I can send letters without a motion.
We can send letters, so it's just a consensus. Sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. I made a mistake.
It's okay.
That includes going after Mandapo. I don't think we need a motion for that.
Okay. Are there any trustees that feel differently about that?
I don't feel differently, but I would like to concurrently initiate the audit.
Forensic audit or the full-blown?
I don't know exactly what a forensic audit means, but what Mark Trotel had, had originally talked about was a forensic audit, which... we'll go through everything that deals with CRS and their billing methods and what they've done to us and what they've delivered.
So I would, I don't want to wait until 2 months from now and then decide we need an audit. I'd like to get it started so we know where we stand with them.
Well, that would mean
I agree.
That would be mean that we'd be moving quicker than a glacier's pace, which is not. But we could do that.
Exactly.
Can we cancel any work?
Yeah, I mean, it's done. When I say send a letter, we're informing them that they're not to do any more work, and that we believe they've breached, and that they owe us this amount of money for the breach.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Blake, one thing with respect to both the audit and potential litigation, have we put them on any type of litigation hold for their documentation just so we know, or at least we can reconstruct that they haven't been adding to the files to try to supplement work product?
I will do that in this letter. If you.
That's an excellent point, Mark.
Great point. Very good. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then, trustees, is there anything else to discuss? Trustees, is there anything else you'd like to bring up in closed session? I'll entertain a motion to move out of closed session and reconvene a public hearing.
I'll make the motion that we come out of closed session and reconvene a public hearing.
A second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We're back in a closed.